Let's come around to his word together. And after the service, we have got some hot cross buns as well available. And I know some of the ladies have been buttering the hot cross buns. So please, you know, if you're able to stay afterwards for a little bit for a hot cross bun and a cup of tea and coffee, it'd be great. It'd be great to just have a bit of fellowship together as well. And I believe at 12 o'clock in the town, there is a walk of witness as well. If you're able to join that, please also feel free to go and join those that are in the town holding the cross up as people to stand for Christ in this day and age. And we need people to stand for Jesus today, don't we? Amen. Well, let's just come to the Word of God together, shall we? One of the things I remember quite a number of years ago, the Lord just showed me that, you know, I was driving on this motorway and I was going for speeding down the motorway, hopefully within the speed limit, and you're going down, just trying to get to that destination. And I think I've slowed down a bit more now. But and it was just that, I heard that word, the Spirit of God say, don't you want to stop and look at the view? And I found that sometimes in life, that can be just like you and me. We've just got so much we've got to do. We're streaming through life. We're going through, like we're on that motorway. And yet the other week, we're traveling down to Norfolk, and Abigail just loves taking pictures at the moment. She's like, I wish I had a camera or something to take some pictures of the view, because that's in that beautiful view, she's saying. And I'm driving, my eyes are just on the road. But sometimes, I felt the Lord just say, sometimes we go through our Christian life and we miss the view. And I want to take us just to stop this moment, this morning, and just take a view of the cross. And it was the view of the cross, when we look in the Bible, of people that changed their lives, like the centurion that was to stop and say, surely this is the Son of God. Or the thief that died on the cross that said, remember me in paradise. There's just those moments where people around the cross, where they just stopped and their lives were changed forever. And I believe that even today, as we come and we look at the cross, my prayer is that it would change our life. That would something of the cross of Christ would be not just something, a story that we hear about, but a story that would be very real to our hearts, very personal to us. Because I believe the cross is personal. I believe Jesus is personal to us. He's not just a king who died, but he is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is in me. He's in my heart. He's in my life. And he's with me every day. He's the one I follow, he's the one I serve, and hope all of you can say amen to that too. So I just want to take a moment, if you've got a Bible, just want to just start by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I love what Paul says. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So every time we come to the cross, that's why Paul loved to preach on the cross. That's why he said at times, he said, I preach nothing but the cross, because he just knew the power that was in the cross of Christ. And as we come to the cross this morning, we need to know there is power in the cross, and it will never lose its power for us. It is the power of God to those who are being saved. It's the foolishness to those who are perishing. For those that say, no, I don't want to know about the cross today. I don't want to think about the cross today. It's all about chocolate eggs and chocolate and Easter bunnies. No, it's about the cross of Christ. And that's where the power is. That's where the true power of Christ is in the cross. And John chapter 19, I'm going to look at a few things here and I'm going to try and get through this. I did say I would be an hour today, so I'm going to try. But Holy Spirit is Lord, not me. So we'll go with him. Amen. Okay, John chapter 19. Verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put it on him, a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said to them, Behold, this man. I'm going to stop there because, I mean, there's so much in the scriptures that we could just sit and read and learn about. But I just got that word, it stuck out to me. Pilate said, Behold this man. as I said earlier about stopping and looking at the view, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, when he said to Pilate, and Pilate stood up and said, "Behold this man." In other words, he's saying, "Look at this man. Look at who it is before you." And Pilate said, when he was trialed and he was brought before them, his backwards and forwards to Herod and to in the trials, and Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." The first thing I want to look at is, when we behold this man, is a sinless man. Behold, there is no sin in this man. He was absolutely sinless. He was with a man without sin, and he had to be without sin. You know, we see before in the Old Testament that it had to be a spotless lamb that was sacrificed. And Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. A man without sin, perfect and pure in every way. You and I, we know we have all sinned. Every single one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some of us may think we're worse sinners than others, but our sin has separated us from God. But Jesus, he was faultless. And we look at Jesus as he stood before that crowd, as he stood and he was tried. He'd been up all night. He'd already been beaten. He'd been arrested. And when that time had come, because many times he'd been there, he'd been teaching, and they tried to get him, but they couldn't get him. They tried to get hold of Jesus, but he'd got out of there somehow, because his time wasn't then. This was the time. Because Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus said, "The Son of Man lays down his life and takes it up again." It was his choice. I mean, that's one of the beauties of the cross. Was it wasn't Pilate, it wasn't anyone else who decided to put him on the cross. Jesus decided to go through the cross, to lay down his life for us. That speaks of greater love, doesn't it? It wasn't taken, he laid it down on his own accord. And this was the time. So he was falsely accused, and as he stood before this crowd, and they looked at him, and he said, "Behold this man." Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." When we look at Jesus today, can we see a sinless Savior? Many people say, "I've not done anything wrong," and we know they have. But when we look at Jesus, he's absolutely sinless. Every temptation that came against him, he didn't give in to. He was perfect in every way. But there was nothing about him, nothing about his beauty. There's nothing about his appearance, as it says in Isaiah, that would esteem us to him. There's nothing about him in any way that would look at him. There's nothing about the clothes that he wears, the style of his hair. There's nothing about his style that would esteem us to him, that would cause us to be attracted to him. It was just Jesus, just like you and me. Behold this man, just like you and me. Behold this man. And when they brought him out before them, it wasn't just standing there. He was standing there. He'd been scourged. And I want to say, firstly, you know, when he came out, he'd already been beaten. He'd been arrested. He'd been falsely accused. Had things spoken against him. He'd been arrested. He'd been denied. He'd been left alone. He'd been abandoned by his disciples. And he'd also been scourged. I would say, behold the stripes of Christ. You know, sometimes people say, why did it have to be a crucifixion? Why did it have to be so horrific? Why did he have to suffer the way he did? Why couldn't it be just a quick death? It had to be as it was, because that's what sin deserves. That's how much God hates sin. Because sin is the thing that separates us from God. And God hates sin, not because of, you know, yes, it separates us from him because he hates sin because it's sin, but he hates it because of what it does to us. How it destroys us, how it destroys our relationship, how it hurts us, how it brings damage to our lives, how it affects our bodies, our minds, how it affects, most importantly, our relationship with him. Then he came out, when he stood before them, he'd already been scourged. He'd been whipped again and again and again. And if any of you know, aware of scourging, it was when the Romans would come and they would get their whips, and there would be a strands of cord with tied with lead balls, or possibly bits of bone upon that, and they would whip again. There'd be no compassion in this whipping. It wasn't gentle. It'd just be again, one after the other. It'd be tearing the skin and also revealing parts of the body from the back. Very painful, and many died in this time. And it says in Isaiah, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Not were, not will be, but are healed. There is a promise there. I mean, talking of the atonement, I believe that is within the atonement we can stand. And what Christ has done for us in our place, that we are healed. And that's why we can come. That's why we pray for the sick. That's why we can come and declare that Jesus healed us, because by his stripes we can stand. When we stand here, when they stood, they said, "Behold this man." We say, "Behold his stripes. Behold, there is healing. He took my sickness. He took my wounds. He took my pain. He took my suffering. He took it. There is the evidence upon his back, upon his body. As he stood there bleeding, weak, tired, exhausted, by his stripes, we are healed. There's a promise we need to continue to stand on in our lives. Behold the man. Behold him there today. He'd been struck. It said they put a robe upon him. They put a crown of thorn upon his head. And the thorns that they put were probably about 3 centimeters long. I mean, they weren't like these little thorns that we get from rose bushes. They were big thorns, and they pressed it against his head, and they pushed it in, so he began to bleed, and the blood began to flow from his head. That blood that shed for you and me. The crown of thorns. They took it as a mockery. You say yourself that the king of the Jews. And they put a robe on him. They beat him and slapped him on the face. You know what that symbolizes to me? As his blood flew over that head, it says to me that I'm giving you the mind of Christ. I'm washing away every negative thought, every lie, every accusation the enemy has put against you. We can now say that we have the mind of Christ. He cleansed our minds. That's why the Bible says we're to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. You know, when people come and they're listening to lies and accusations, they're believing the lies of the enemy, believing lies, what people have spoken over them. They live in those lies in their life as they're a failure, as they're no good, as they're a nobody. They've got no purpose. God's chosen them, but he's not chosen me. And we live with these lies, and we live in this place. We need to look at this crown of thorns that was placed upon his head and see the blood that flows and the power of that blood that cleanses us. We have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, it says in Philippians. That was in Christ Jesus. A mind of humility, but a mind of truth. We see that crown of thorns upon his head. Thorns in the Genesis spoke of the curse. So when those thorns went in, Jesus became the curse for us. So anyone says they're under the curse, we can say Jesus became the curse so I could be set free from the curse. That's power. So many people still live under a curse. However you may see that in the Bible, people live in that place not believing that Jesus became the curse. When he died on the cross, he became the curse for you and I, so we could be set free. So it was transferred upon him. When we see everything that's going on upon Jesus, all of that should have been me, it should have been you. That's what sin deserved. And yet it was transferred upon him, and he chose to allow that to happen to him and him to suffer in our place, in my place, so I could be free. Praise God. That's why, you know, I love that verse. It says God has not given us a spirit of fear. And you know, fear, wherever, you know, when we get bound, it often starts in our mind, and there is a pattern. It gets to your mind, then gets to your heart, then gets to your actions, and then you get bound. And the Bible says God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind because of the blood of Jesus. Behold the crown of thorns. Mark 15 verse 24 talks of the crucifixion, that he went to be crucified. And as he was crucified, the soldiers cast lots for Jesus. In other words, they stripped him. They laid the garments, and they began to cast lots and began to gamble over his garments. And as he was nailed to the cross, we know they were not small nails. They were 7 to 9 inches of thick nails that were put through his hands and feet to hold him on the cross. As he hung there, breathless, grabbing every breath that he could get, he gave everything. I mean, Jesus gave everything. All of his, everything. He had nothing. He hung on the cross totally empty. He gave his body, he gave his life, he gave his heart, he gave his love, he gave everything, he gave his garments, he gave everything. He held nothing back. This is the King of the universe. And you and I, we hold so much to ourselves. And when we look at the cross and we behold this man and we begin to see Jesus, we see the one who gave it all. And it causes me to say, Jesus, what can I give? I can give him my thanks today. I can give him my praise. I can give him my time. I can give him my heart. I can give him my worship. I can give him my life. I can give him my service. I can give him my giftings. I can give him my mind. I can give him my love. He gave his uttermost, everything. He had nowhere to lay. He had everything. He laid down for you and me. Behold this man. But you know what I find interesting is he hung on this cross and he was there and he began to cry different words. And you know, I love, one of the things I love to do sometimes is go through those cries, but we don't have time this morning. But he could have cried when he was on this cross and he could have said, Father, why have they done this to me? Why is it so painful? Why does it hurt so much? Why are they laughing? Why are they pulling my beard? Why do they take my garments? Why do they do this? Why did I have to carry that cross? Why, Father? He could have said, why? So many questions. He could have put, why? But you know, the whole time in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of the greatest agony that anyone could face, the nearness of death, when he's breathless, he began to cry and begin to look to others still. His heart was still going out to others as he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing as they're gambling over these garments. Forgive them. His heart's going out to others still at the cross, not for himself, but for others. As he looked at John and he looked at Mary, he said, Brother, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. He said, in other words, he's saying, take care of each other. He's still on the cross. He's still thinking of others. When you or I are in our pain, in our suffering, we go into the pity party mode and poor me, oh, I've gone for a really difficult time. I'm struggling, I'm hurting. And we all do it. I do that. I mean, we do that. But Jesus, behold this man, he's still thinking of others. Near death, and he's loving others. He's caring for others. What great love he showed. Even the man who was on the cross at that moment where he thought that was it. I've suffered, I've sinned, I've messed up. And he says, Jesus, you've done nothing wrong. Remember me. Remember me. Sometimes in life we can be in that place and we just think, God, you know, I've made so many mistakes. Would you remember me? And we think God might forget us, but you know, even in his pain, his suffering, he says, surely. What the greatest hope. I mean, that man died with peace. You know, I've seen many a dead body in some of the work that I've done and in ministry as well. And sometimes you see this peace and it brings joy to you in that sense because you know they're with Jesus. But sometimes there's horror on their faces. And that worries me, you know, that they didn't know him. God wants us to know him. And I believe that man died with peace that day because Jesus spoke those words, surely. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Aren't you looking forward to being with Jesus? Do you have peace? And then he said those words. As he cried out. So darkness came across the whole face of the earth, Mark 15:33. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, darkness covered the face of the earth. At this moment, things, that whole creation is moving. We know earthquake begins to happen. We know in a moment, the curtain, this thick curtain, is torn in two from the top to bottom. There's a whole movement going on, but in this moment, darkness covers the earth, almost as if to say God is turning his face away from his son. And this speaks to me so powerfully about to us, what God would say to us. As Jesus, one of the things that he wanted more than anything else, that he knew he needed, was the closeness of his Father. And in that moment, because of our sin that came upon him, I believe there was a separation that took place upon him as he became my sin, as he became my gossip, as he became the lust, as he became the adulterer, as he became the murderer, the liar, the thief, as he became all of that, as he says, he became sin. He became all that this world was. It took upon himself and he took it upon him and he became that which was disgusted in the Father's sight and he was separated. Darkness covered the face of the earth and he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" The darkest hour in the Son's life was the separation from the Father. That was the greatest, not the nails in his hands, not the scourging on his back, but the separation from his Father. And yet sometimes that's the last thing in people's minds. "I don't need God," they say. "Why should I need God?" I believe if people just begin to experience the closeness and the love and the wonder of the cross and the wonder of Christ and the wonder of God and the heart of God towards us, that you never want to be apart from him. Never. As that separation took place, as Jesus became our sin. Can you behold this man? He longed for the closeness of his Father in that moment. Don't you just long to be close with Jesus? And then there was a final word. Scott, do you with your mind just come in? Close of the last song. "Behold the victory." As he cried those words, "Tetelestai," which means, you know what it means? It's finished. It is accomplished. Mission accomplished. All of eternity, all the sins from that moment Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God and sin entered the world. And that where the separation began to occur, where man was lost without God. In those words, it is accomplished. Finally, God's plan for mankind. I mean, this was the greatest plan ever that we'll ever know. I pray that we'd grasp this revelation today when we look at the cross, when we think about it and we see the power of the cross, what Jesus did, when he cried those words, "It's finished, it is accomplished, it is dealt with." When God looks at us, he can say, "It's finished, your sins have been dealt with." When he looks through Jesus Christ at the cross, Jesus says, "It's been done. You can have fellowship with the Father." And this morning, as we've been hearing people pray and we've been worshiping God and we've been singing, I've just heard this cry in my heart that God's just saying, "That's what I want, is to be one with them again." God just wants intimacy with us. That's what he longs for. That's why we've been made in his image. He wants us to be closer to him. And that's what the cross really is all about. It's about you and I being able to come close to God. Sin being dealt with through Jesus Christ. But there has to be an acknowledgement on our part. There has to be an acknowledgement for you and I to say, "Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've sinned. And from time to time, I may sin." And that's what put Jesus on the cross. And I need his forgiveness. I need to know his grace and his mercy. I need that exchange to take place. I need him to take my sins upon him. I need to be close to God again. And the only way is through repentance. The Bible's very clear on that. I can't see any other way. There's no way to the Father but through the Son. That's why Jesus' message was a message of repentance. Don't let anyone tell you any different. That's a change of attitude, a change of mind. It's saying, "I don't want to live this way any longer. I want to live Christ's way. I give my life to him. I lay my burdens. I lay my sins. I lay it at the cross. And I choose to follow Jesus." It's a choice. It's not just a prayer saying, "God, forgive me, that's it. And I'm going to live my life that I want to live." No, it's a following. It's a lifestyle change. It's an attitude in our hearts. That's why when the disciples came to John when they're being baptized, and they said, "What do we do now?" And John says, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." In other words, live it out in your life. God's done it. The message is there. Jesus has died on the cross for us. The work's been done. But live it out. Live it out. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we know, Lord, that you came to this earth and you're with us now, and that's to glorify Jesus. We know the Word of God, it points to Jesus. Old Testament, New Testament, you're pointing to Jesus. And Lord, with every sign of heaven, with every word and every page, with every utterance, Father, from every angel, I believe it points to Jesus, saying he is the way to the Father. And you're pointing to the cross today to show us the way. And Lord, we don't want to just remain at the cross. We want to come through the cross because we know there's a resurrection. We know that you're alive today. And we know, Lord, that you took our sins. But Father, you also live in us. And Father, we come as we worship you now, as we come to the table together. Andy, would you come? Let's take this opportunity this year just to lay our sins before God. Let's remember him, what he's done for us.